God didn't make us for this world. He made us for another world. And if we will trust Him, one day when we take a look at the video, we will stop and say, Lord, thank you for being the beginning and the end. You see so much further than we do. We just don't understand it. And now may we live more deeply, love more fully, be more compassionate, and live more intentionally. And in heaven, we'll be thankful.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. At one time or another, every one of us will experience the loss of a loved one. God dedicated an entire book in the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, to the subject of death and mourning. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was sharing the devastation he went through when he lost his father. Let's pick it up right there with a message entitled, Ruth and Naomi, Outlasting Loss.
I remember when my dad died, and it was a hard, hard time for me, and I wrestled with it a lot. And I just wanted to be isolated from everybody. In fact, I even said it to God. I said, I don't want to hear from anybody for a while. I don't want to see anybody. I could even see myself zipping myself in a coffin. It's like, leave me alone, everybody. And I said this, even you, God. And then I stopped. And I said, no, I need the Lord. God, I'll let you in, but nobody else. It's in the midst of those times of mourning that you're more vulnerable than at any other time. So press in to the Lord. Now, there's ways that you can mourn that actually can destroy you. And so you want to watch that. Job had to mourn. In fact, he saw all of his children killed in one day and all of his possessions eradicated. And he was struggling. In fact, he broke out in hives and then boils. I don't know if you've been under that kind of stress. I remember some years ago, I was going through a burnout and I had a heart attack. And then I started breaking out in hives. My lip got big. I looked like a Ubangi. And I had red hives all over because the stress was so much. And so I understand 1/1,000,000th of what Job was going through. But he started breaking out in boils. It was so bad that his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said, no, I'm not going to blame God. See, when you're mourning, don't blame God. Don't do it. Press in close to Him. But watch what he says. It'll come up on the board. Read it with me, would you? About Job, would you put that up on the board? Let's read it. Go. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him. In other words, he said, I ain't going to blame God, but I'm going to have a talk with the Lord. I need to iron this baby out. And he wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with his emotions. Healing will often take a long time, and it's okay. It's absolutely normal. Your body needs to heal. But when you suffer, would you read this in 1 Peter 4:19? Read it out loud with me, would you? Go. Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is... Yeah, see, we can do what is wrong when we suffer. In fact, it says, let those who suffer according to the what? Will of God. If there's a way that we can suffer that's according to the will of God, I bet there's a way to suffer that's not according to the will of God. Because if He's instructing us, make sure you're suffering according to the will of God, it's probably because He knows there's a way to suffer that's not according to the will of God. That will start to destroy you, cause bitterness to seep into, leach into your soul and start to ruin you, where you become less sympathetic, less compassionate, more opinionated, even more bitter, and someone that would be galvanized against this or that. And we start to form these wrong kind of ideologies that's spawned by vengeance and avenging this situation and everything that goes wrong. The Lord says, oh, no. Make sure when you suffer according to the will of God. Will you suffer? Oh, you absolutely will. You will, because you're going to learn a ton in the midst of that. There's lessons for the living. God shows us. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, read this next one with me, would you? Go. But we do not want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep. Why? So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have. Yeah. See, there's going to be people that are going to be, will pass or expire in our lifetime that we love. But be careful that when you grieve, that you don't grieve as those with no hope. Because if you've made that assignment complete, that you've opened your heart to Jesus, death is a comma. It's not a period. And he just took us home prior to what we thought may have been the most appropriate time. But before I show you a graph on that, I want you to see a little video about my wife and my daughter-in-law, who both suffered some loss, and they were trying to reconcile all of that. And it wasn't easy. But let's take a look, then I'll come back and share with you about the fullness of time when God takes people home and how we might better see the hand of God. First, let's take a listen.
I think in the beginning for me, you know, being a brand new Christian and going through loss, Aaron and I lost our first pregnancy. And, you know, I wasn't new in my faith, but I was a little immature, and I just kind of thought grieving was something that, you know, you just had faith and you just said the right things and you prayed, because I knew all the promises of God, but I didn't know how to reconcile my faith and the deep emotional hurt that I felt. And, you know, cooperating with the Lord through that and knowing that he doesn't want us to just push things down and suppress it and pretend that it doesn't hurt. Because when you feel great loss and when you love so deeply, it is really challenging to, you know, go through the emotions of it. And for me, I think in an unhealthy way, I can sometimes busy myself or get really hyperproductive and distract myself from the emotions. And, you know, I get, my house gets really clean and I get, you know, a lot of things done, but eventually the Lord's so good to bring us to the place of having to sit with him in those emotions, knowing that he's near, and even when your heart is breaking, that he doesn't want you to just not include him in that, because you have faith that he's so good. And in his goodness, I think he's near to us in the process of it. And so, you know, fast forward the tape to this last year when, you know, I was grieving the loss of my mom, really taking the time to be with the Lord in the middle of my sorrow and in the middle of my questions that I had unanswered. And so I think, you know, grieving is such a part of life. And I know that you've done that so well with prayer. And that's probably really been something I've learned from you.
I know when my mother passed away too, and we were in Hawaii, I always called her every Monday morning. And I was sitting at the computer. It was one of the old dial-up things, you know, that all that noise. And I thought, I wish she could had a computer so we could talk back and forth. But it was a Saturday, and the Lord just so clearly said, call your mother. And I thought, oh, but it's not Monday. Oh, well, I'll call. And so I called, and we talked, and she said goodbye, and I thought that was a different way she said goodbye, because she always said it a certain way. But I thought, oh, well, and just went along. And that that Sunday night, she passed away. Sometimes you have to trust that that's God, because that was another gift that I got to speak to her the night before she passed away.
My questions that I had unanswered. And like you said, like finding those gifts that he gives, because when you look back and you see his hand in things and you know that he was there all along, you're so right. There's those moments that just give you just a glimpse of God's faithfulness.
And God is faithful. Again, he doesn't make us immune from all of these, because we're human. We don't forget that we're Christians. We forget that we're human. But sometimes when our humanity shows up, we feel guilty, when it's really absolutely normal, and it's absolutely acceptable to the king. And he even makes note of our mourning. Because in the midst of that, we become, if we suffer according to the will of God, when it's all done, we're different. You see, never let a life pass wherein you're not better because of it. And there's going to be a lot of those losses in our life. Just think, if we can learn lessons along the way, we'll begin to realize even more firmly that life is short and that we have a decision to make. And we won't be immune from all of these things. It's okay. But if we will always become better because of a life that we've had contact with, then we won't be blaming God. You see, when someone is taken, instead of saying, why did you take him? He was only 35 or he was only 25 or whatever. Instead, we should be saying, Lord, thank you for giving that person to us for 35 years as a gift, undeserved. That person was a brother, or she was a sister, a friend, or a neighbor. You gave that person's life to us for 35 years, 40 years, whatever it might be, as a gift. And I'm better because of that. Never let a life pass when we're not better because of it. And it reminds us that life is brief and that we get to make that decision about Christ, that we're not immune. But we're going to go through the mourning, and you say, well, how do you go from mourning and you get healed? Well, the best way is this. Can I encourage you to do your best to move from mourning into honoring the loss? Because if we just mourn it, it really causes us to move into a deeper, dark pit of depression. But if we can say, no, Lord, that person was a gift to my life for 50 years, 30 years, 25 years, whatever it might be, then I want to honor that memory, and you begin to honor that person. I'm so proud of a family in our church, the Schaufler family. Blake, their son, was taken abruptly. In fact, he was a student of mine in the class I was teaching, and when he was taken, was there mourning? Absolutely. Deep, deep, deep grief and mourning. But you know, they started moving towards healing when they started honoring his memory. There's a plaque in our school about him, and there's a bench up at the cross and a storyboard there about his life. They just began to honor this young man's commitment to God, and they even established a scholarship in his name. And I thought, you know what, God? I wonder if one day, because of all of this, you see the end from the beginning, you see a scholarship being given to a young person who will be able to be trained and then be used by God to win thousands and thousands and thousands to Christ. Little do we know what God has in mind. We see only dimly a slice of life. Let me take this board here and see if I can't help us to see this. We see over here a person's life to maybe here, where it's 35, 50 years old, whatever the age might be. And then at this point, we see the Lord take this person. And we say, Lord, this person had a whole bunch of life left. But remember, God only does things out of love for us, never any other way. God loves us deeply. And so everything he does is out of love, and he is the Alpha and the Omega. All we see is this little dot right there. And we say, God, why did you take him at that dot? Why we would like him to stay around for a long time? Absolutely. But what you don't know and what I don't know is God sees this here. To us, it's a question mark. But to God, I see all things, he says. So it may be to us a question mark. To him, it isn't. What we don't know is that person's life may have gone down this way, or it may have run into a wall, or something tragic, far more tragic happened. And of all of his life, we just see this and a little bit of this, if memory serves us well. But God sees the beginning to the end, and he sees this life. And of all of the time, he says, you're going to be taken home sometime, sooner or later. But God looks and says, you know, the best time to take Wayne will be right here. Does that fit everybody's timetable? No, no, but it will fit my plan. And one day in heaven, I'm going to take a moment to go into God's theater and say, I got mad at you, God, for taking my friend here, but would you show me the rest of the story? And when we see maybe the tragic ending or maybe a person walking away from their faith or whatever it might be, when we're done watching that video, we're going to say, God, you love us way more than we ever realized. Thank you for doing what you did, because this person is in heaven today because of your intercepting love. We don't understand it, but you do. And now we get to trust in the Lord our God. He will show us that because we don't see it right now, but he does. And he took this person up here because it's a whole different life that God wants us to live in. All we see is this dot. So in the essence of eternity, our life is a dot. And we say, God, why did you take that person at that dot? Well, because it's just a dot. Yeah, but you could have waited one more centimeter before you took it. Okay, but it's still right here. Let me do what I, because I know what's best. Yeah, but I can't understand it, but I do. And you get to trust me. And one day in heaven, I'm going to show you the video of what would have happened if I had not intervened. My mind goes crazy. I remember a story. It's a kind of a fun story. This man and this lady, they were both 85 years old. They were going on vacation. Their plane crashes. But they were still pretty vibrant at 85 years old, you know. They had a good diet and exercise. But plane crashes, and they go to heaven, and St. Peter is showing them their mansion. I mean, it's a gorgeous mansion with swimming pools and beautiful granite counters and these beautiful rooms and cars. And then he says, now come over to the golf course. This is like this master plan golf course. I mean, it's just splendid. And he says, come to the clubhouse. And he says, do we have to pay for the? Oh, no, so everything's free. You're in heaven. And come over to the clubhouse, and beautiful clubhouse. And here's a buffet. You can have anything you want. And he said, well, how much is that? Free, free. This is heaven. And so the man and his wife's there, and he kind of stutters around, and he says, excuse me, where's the low-calorie part of the buffet? Go, excuse me? Yeah, like the gluten-free, you know, where we can have some roughage and vegetables and maybe, you know, diet drinks and stuff. Peter goes, no, this is heaven. You can eat anything you want, and you will not gain a gram. And the man just throws down his hat and stomps on it, and he looks at his wife, and he said, because of your stupid bran muffins, I could have been here 10 years ago. God didn't make us for this world. He made us for another world. And if we will trust him, one day when we take a look at the video, we will stop and say, Lord, thank you for being the beginning and the end. You see so much further than we do. And it doesn't thwart your plans. It is a part of your plans. We just don't understand it. But our emotions will collide. Thank you for your nearness so that we can work it through. And now may we live more deeply. Love more fully, be more compassionate, and live more intentionally. And in heaven, we'll be thankful. Oh, we don't understand it. We're angry about it because we're so limited in our scope and life is so transient. But Lord, you are all trustworthy. And though my brain can't figure it out, I trust you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and I promise he will make your paths straight. Now back to Ruth, a little twist at the ending. Ruth found the grace to move on. It was tough for them all, and especially Naomi, because not only did she lose her husband, she lost both of her sons. In fact, when she went back to Bethlehem, someone said, Naomi, you're back. And she said, don't call me Naomi, call me bitter. It was so hard, but I survived. Now, Ruth found the grace to move on. She'll be glad she did. You know why? because later on, she marries a man named Boaz. Now, you got to know something about Boaz. Boaz's mother is a lady named Rahab. Heard of her name? She was a harlot, a prostitute. She gave birth to a baby named Boaz. Ruth marries Boaz. Now watch this. She suffered loss. She finds the grace to move on, marries Boaz. Ruth and Boaz have a son. His name was Obed. And then Obed has a son. His name was Jesse. And Jesse has a son. His name, King David. Ruth became the great-grandmother of Israel's greatest king. And if she hadn't moved on, we would see a different ending to the story. But if you go to Matthew chapter 1 in the New Testament, you look at the genealogy, guess whose name you're going to find there? Ruth. She actually is in the genealogy of the Messiah. Do you understand God's plan? We think it's the end of the line. The Lord says, it's the beginning of redemption story. And if you'll trust me, beyond your lifetime, my plan will come to pass and people will be changed because you trusted me. Loss has a lesson for the living. Learn it well. Will we go through mourning? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is it easy? No. It's horribly hard. But stay close to Jesus, because you'll come out and God's plan will continue and you will heal and you'll have a better life because of the memories of that person, because you will never let a life pass wherein you're not better because of it. And we'll realize how short life is, that we have one assignment and we're not immune, but we'll make sure that we complete that assignment. So the Lord will say to us on that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Can you say amen to that? Amen.
You've been listening to a message entitled Ruth and Naomi, Outlasting Loss, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We trust it was an encouragement to you, especially if you're going through a time of loss. Until next time, for all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.
Yeah.